Picture this. You're at 4,500 feet, smooth air, practice area all to yourself. Your CFI tells you to set up for power off stalls. You run through your pre-maneuver checklist. You pull the throttle back. You feel the airplane slow. And then from your left, almost from nowhere, another training aircraft crosses maybe 250 feet above you, headed the opposite direction. Neither of you saw the other until that moment. That is not hypothetical. That is a scenario that happens because someone did the clearing turn wrong, or did not really do one at all. And I want to talk about that today, because clearing turns are one of the most consistently half-done habits in all of flight training, and the consequence of getting this one wrong is not a busted check ride or a go-around. It is a mid-air collision. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going deep on clearing turns. Not because the technique is exotic or complicated, because it is simple enough to rush, and pilots rush it constantly, and that is exactly how simple habits become fatal ones. Before we get into the technique, a quick word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. If you're in training right now, or you know someone working through the ratings, AviationSoul makes challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating commercial, they have got you covered. These are the kinds of things you keep on your desk and still remember 20 years from now. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Okay, let's walk through this together. A clearing turn has one purpose. You are about to significantly change your flight profile. You are about to slow down or climb or descend or enter a maneuver that will occupy a defined chunk of airspace for a sustained period. Before you do that, you need to know whether that chunk of airspace is already occupied. That is the entire job of the clearing turn. You are not performing a ritual. You're not checking a box so your instructor does not get on you. You are physically checking whether there's another aircraft in the piece of sky you're about to use. That distinction in mindset matters, because if you treat it as a ritual, you will do it the way people do rituals when nobody is watching. Fast and thoughtless. Now let me explain what the piece of sky you're about to use actually means in practice, because this is something student pilots often underestimate. A power-off stall sequence does not happen in a single point in the sky. The entry takes distance. The brake takes distance. The recovery takes distance. If you add up the altitude and horizontal distance involved in a standard stall entry and recovery, you have consumed a block of airspace that is several hundred feet tall and potentially half a mile or more in length by the time you have finished. That block needs to be clear. Not just the spot you're in right now. The block, a steep turn, uses a circle. At cruise speeds, a standard rate steep turn at 60 degrees of bank might have a radius of several hundred feet. You're going to trace that entire circle. Every aircraft inside that circle is now relevant to you. Slow flight maneuvers can involve extended periods of flying at the edge of the performance envelope, which means your ability to react quickly to traffic you suddenly notice is compromised. You need more lead time, more awareness, not less. This is why the clearing turn has to be executed to actually see the whole picture. And the technique for doing that is specific. The Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook describes the clearing procedure as making at least two 90-degree turns in opposite directions, or a single 180-degree turn. The goal is to systematically expose the quadrants of sky that your nose was blocking during straight and level flight. Because here's what people forget about their airplane. The nose is big on a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee. The cowling in front of you blocks a meaningful chunk of your forward view. During a left turn, the right front quadrant opens up. During a right turn, the left front quadrant opens up. By alternating your turns, you systematically roll back the blind spots that exist in every position of straight and level flight. The bank angle matters for this to work. 30 degrees is the standard target. At a shallow bank, 10 or 15 degrees, you have not tipped the nose far enough to actually expose the hidden quadrant. You have made the airplane go around a gentle arc while your nose is still largely blocking the same piece of sky. At 30 degrees, the geometry works. You are actually revealing the blind spots. Anything shallower is cosmetic. So the technique looks like this. Pick a direction left or right, establish a 30-degree bank turn as you turn, look aggressively out the side and forward, scanning the quadrant that is opening up in front of you, complete 90 degrees, or continue to 180, then roll out and begin a turn in the opposite direction. Complete that 90 or 180. You have now looked at the full 360 degrees of airspace around you. Not glanced at, scanned. And that word scanned deserves its own conversation. Human vision does not work the way pilots sometimes assume it does. Your peripheral vision is excellent at detecting motion, but it is not reliable for spotting a small aircraft against a blue sky or a hazy horizon that requires foveal vision. The central, focused part of your eyesight and your fovea has a fairly narrow field of coverage, something like 2 to 5 degrees of arc, which means to reliably scan the sky, you have to physically move your eyes through it in segments. The technique is to move your eyes in a series of discrete steps, pausing briefly at each position to let your vision focus. Not sweeping continuously, because a continuous sweep smears the image across your retina and reduces your ability to resolve detail. Step, pause, step, pause, across the horizontal. Then a segment up, then down. When you do this during a clearing turn, you're combining the geometry of the maneuver with the optics of the scan to give yourself the best possible chance of spotting traffic that is actually there. Here is something that sharpens the habit. Before you start the clearing turn, remind yourself what you're looking for. Not, "I'm doing a clearing turn," instead, "I'm looking for other aircraft." And some of them will be small, some will be slow, and at training altitudes, they may be on similar headings to mine. You are hunting. That mental state changes the quality of the scan. And you are not just looking at the horizon. This is the failure mode I see most often. Pilots scan horizontally and call it done. But traffic can come from above or below. An aircraft descending through your altitude from above is just as much a conflict as one on the same altitude heading toward you. During the turn, you have opportunities to look upward through the windscreen and downward through the lower windows or below the wing. Use them. Let me walk through the specific ways this habit breaks down, because understanding the failure modes is part of building the right technique. The first way it breaks down is the token turn. The student banks maybe 10 degrees, makes a lazy sweep of a few degrees of heading change, and calls it cleared. They have technically turned, they have not actually cleared anything. The bank was not sufficient to expose the blind spots, and the scan lasted 2 seconds. This is common when students are focused on setting up the maneuver itself. The maneuver becomes the mental priority, and the clearing turn becomes the thing they have to get through to start the real work. The second failure mode is the one-direction scan. The student turns left, scans reasonably well on that side, rolls out, and starts reducing power for the stall. They looked left. They did not look right. If you only turn one direction, you have covered roughly a quarter of the sky. You have left three quarters unseen. The third failure mode is the speed rush. The student makes the right turns at the right bank angle, but completes the entire maneuver in about 5 or 6 seconds. Your eyes are physically not able to conduct a useful scan at that speed. You are moving through the geometry without giving your vision time to resolve what is in front of you. Slow down. A proper clearing scan takes time. That is not inefficiency. That is the process. The fourth failure mode is horizontal-only scanning. Already mentioned, but worth naming directly, the student scans across the horizon. Only traffic conflicts happen at your altitude. They also happen above and below. Look up during the turn. Look below the wing. You have angles available to you during a bank turn that you do not have in level flight. Use them. The fifth failure mode is the formality mindset. This one is the root of most of the others. If clearing turns are something you do because your instructor expects them, rather than something you do because you want to not collide with an aircraft, they will always be sloppy. The habit has to be rooted in the actual purpose. You are searching for traffic that could kill you. That is not a procedure. That is survival behavior. Now, here is how you build this correctly from the beginning. Some instructors teach students to narrate the scan out loud, at least early in training. Left front, clear, left side, clear, above, clear, right turn, now, right side, clear, right front, clear, below, clear. It sounds mechanical, but the narration forces your brain to engage with each segment of the scan. You cannot narrate what you did not look at, not honestly. It slows you down and turns passive glancing into an active search. Another habit worth building early is integrating the clearing turn into your pre-maneuver checklist as a formal step, not an afterthought. Some instructors use mnemonics like HASL, height, airspace, security of the cabin, engine, location. The clearing turn falls under the airspace check. When it is formally embedded in your checklist flow, it is harder to skip. Here is something I wish someone had told me early in training. Once you are inside the maneuver, your job is not finished. The clearing turn clears the airspace at the moment you begin. It does not give you a 2-minute pass on situational awareness. During slow flight, during a stall series, during steep turns, you need to keep scanning. Steep turns especially. You're tracing a circle in the sky, and you are heads up, looking at the horizon. That is your best opportunity to be aware of what is around you. Use it, Do not fixate on the bank angle indicator and forget that there is an entire sky outside the windshield. For students preparing for the practical test, here is exactly what your designated pilot examiner is watching. Before every maneuver on the Airman Certification Standards task list, the ACS specifies that the applicant shall demonstrate clearing procedures. That is not a vague guideline. It is a specific evaluation point. Your examiner will note whether you turned the airplane, not just swiveled your head. They will note whether the bank was meaningful. They will note whether the scan looked like you were actually searching or whether you were performing a ritual. A good examiner does not just check the box. They are evaluating whether you have built the habit, because the habit is what keeps you alive after the check ride. If you're not sure what a meaningful scan looks like versus a cursory one, ask your instructor to critique your clearing turn specifically. Not your stall entry, not your airspeed control. Ask them to watch only the clearing turn and tell you what they see. That kind of targeted feedback is how habits get refined before they become permanent. Let me say something about the statistical reality behind all of this, because data matters. The FAA has tracked mid-air collisions for decades. The pattern that shows up consistently is that a significant percentage of them happen in visual meteorological conditions. Clear sky. Good visibility. The aircraft involved could, in theory, have seen each other. They happen near airports with active flight training. They happen at altitudes commonly used for training maneuvers. The people in those aircraft were not flying in weather that obscured the threat. They were flying in conditions where proper scanning could have found the other aircraft. Clearing turns done correctly are a direct intervention against exactly this scenario. There is also an equipment layer worth mentioning. If your training aircraft has automatic dependent surveillance broadcast equipment, and many current training aircraft do, you may have traffic display available to you on a panel display or a portable device. That information is useful. A traffic target on your screen tells you there is something out there, but it does not replace the visual scan. Traffic display has latency, it does not show aircraft without transponders, it does not show aircraft that have their avionics off, and it does not replace the ACS requirement for clearing procedures. Use the technology, do not let it replace the habit. The practice area environment also deserves a word. If you are training at a busy flight school, you are likely operating in the same geographic area as other students. Same practice area, same altitudes, same maneuvers, all of you operating simultaneously. Some training environments have informal altitude deconfliction practices. Some schools coordinate with each other. Know the environment you are flying in. Ask your instructor what other schools use your practice area, what altitudes are standard, and whether there are any informal agreements. That awareness does not replace clearing turns. It gives you context that makes your clearing turns more useful because you know where to concentrate your search. If you spot traffic during a clearing turn, you do not start the maneuver. You track the traffic until you understand its position, its direction, its altitude relative to you, and whether it represents a conflict. If there is any uncertainty, you hold off. You can turn again, you can delay the maneuver by 30 seconds, you can reposition. What you cannot do is restart a mid-air collision. So when in doubt, wait, confirm, and clear again. This habit costs you nothing. A clearing turn done right takes maybe 15 to 20 additional seconds before a maneuver. That is all. Over a one-hour lesson, you might do clearing turns a dozen times. That is a few minutes total. The alternative, skipping or rushing them, does not save you meaningful time. It just removes a safety layer that you cannot replace with anything else. Build the habit right the first time. 30-degree bank, both directions, active scan, all quadrants, including above and below, narrated if that helps you slow down and engage. Own this before your first solo, because once you're out there alone, the only person who is going to remind you to clear is you. The Airplane Flying Handbook and the Airman Certification Standards both cover this in detail, and both are free downloads at FAA.gov. That is your reading for this week. Find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. Stay visual, stay searching, and I'll talk to you next time.